every morning at 5 o'clock sharp, even on Sundays. Even when Laura still insisted that he attend church with her, Charlie found a job at the local Super Box Home Improvement Store in the outdoor section, or the gardening section as the older ladies he dealt with every day called it. He managed to save money, fix his teeth, and buy a semi-new car that was in good shape and got great gas mileage. It was in between a soccer dad vehicle and an upscale pizza delivery driver go-to-work horse. Since Laura and Charlie hadn't yet gotten pregnant, mostly Charlie was throwing every dime he had into the slot machines or on the tables. They decided to rescue a dog from the pound. They made sure it was the next one on the list to be put down, and it happened to be the meanest dog there, never letting Charlie take him for walks, always stole a shoe, not shoes, but shoe. Only one, and Charlie felt as if it were a personal attack, as if he were the one who put him in the pound in the first place. That damn dog, as Charlie called him, wouldn't let Charlie give him a proper bath, and he resorted to artillery-style shots from the garden hose that only made that damn dog more aggressive. Yes, Charlie was living his best life, and not only from the outside. He had never felt better, and it showed through the glow that emanated from him. But today, Charlie had left all of that hard work over the last 4 years, back on the wagon he had so eagerly thrown himself from.
"I prefer a little cream in mine, but black is good too,"
the beverage server said, slowly as she pushed her barely covered breast right in his face. "Long and black," he nervously blurted out, and then quickly added, "Tall and black." He nervously stumbled on his words, which only encouraged the server. It wasn't his anxiety from the flirtatious interactions, but his overwhelming anxiety to get rid of her so he could be alone with his obsession that caused a sexual tongue tie. It took her a while, much too long for his liking, to straighten herself up and give a slow wink before her exposed thighs swayed away and he finally was able to slip in the one thing he really wanted to, a crisp $100 bill into the slot machine. It seemed like a century for the credits button to show his deposit, and while he counted every heartbeat, he overheard the older woman silently yelling at her husband, who he had more in common with than he would ever know.
"Harold, you're gonna lose all of our grocery money again."
It wasn't the words that caught his undivided attention, but the memory of him coming home from a shopping trip of his own with no groceries, nothing in his wallet, and an overdue checking account. Time doesn't take away memories like that. In fact, time only made it worse because of the long in-between relapses. The disappointment was worse, and that was something he never understood. Even though it was his first fall from the wild wagon of gambling, and probably not his last, his conscience suffered greatly each time.
"Shut up, Martha. We have 40 cans of baked beans in the basement."
The old man, a few chairs down, replied to his nagging wife. Charlie instantly imagined those two watching the evening news with every light in the entire house off just to save a few nickels, farting from the 3-week bender of baked beans that had been expired for nearly a decade. The image was so vivid, Charlie crinkled up his nose and finally saw that his credits were in the machine, and he was ready to hit the jackpot. Isn't that why people gamble? To win money? To win big? Isn't that why millions of people can't pay the rent on time? Because they want to hit the jackpot and forever change their lives? Charlie knew that no matter what, no matter how much he won, at this point, he would just sit there at a card table until even the biggest of jackpots was completely gone, down to the last dollar. He quickly went down his mental checklist. Full tank of gas, full fridge, plenty of food for that damn dog. House payment was current, insurance was up to date, and he even prepaid for next month's gym membership. Even though he was only going to gamble with the stashed $500 he brought, he wasn't stupid to underestimate the power of cards. At least he had quit drinking. Even though it wasn't a problem, but if you mix a few drinks with the gambling problem, well, then you have a situation that could become nuclear within minutes.
"Here's your tall and black drink.
Her sexual tone and near slip of the play on words